to raise money, which we can't mention.
And by which I'm glad. So it's interesting how just how much money is there in India and how popular our Krishna consciousness movement is right now. So in any case, that's another point. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived there at the banks of the Godavari, and he took his bath, and he observed that close by there was a personality arriving on a palanquin who was being carried on a palanquin, and he was surrounded by many, many different brahmanas chanting mantras. And of course, because he was the governor of this province of Madras, or Chennai, as we know it to be today, then he had so many servants. You know, in those days, if you were governor or king or whatever, I mean, you were carried in a palanquin. Nowadays, it's not like that. You don't see the governor carried in a palanquin. I mean, for example, the Pope, he has the Pope Mobile, which is a bulletproof. Did you know that?
Yeah, but is the new one using it?
He doesn't like to use it. He doesn't like to use it because he likes to go out and shake everyone's hands, you know, Pope Francis. But originally they had the Pope Mobile, which is a bulletproof thing. So that's modern day convenience for a conveyance, I'm sorry, for a respectable personality. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reluctant to meet with Ramana Dwari because he was surrounded by all these Brahmanas chanting mantras. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu patiently waited, and he actually wanted to run to Ramana Dwari, but he didn't. He just stayed there. And then he did something that attracted the attention of Ramana Dwari. He manifested a brilliance like 100 times that of the sun. He was just extremely brilliant. So he obviously nobody could avoid seeing him at that particular point. It was just like, wow, who is this sannyasi? And so Ramana Dwari came and offered his obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "Who are you?" And Ramananda Roy replied that, "I am Ramananda Roy, your obedient servant." And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced him and recognizing him as Vishakha Devi. And they both lost consciousness, fell to the ground, exhibited what's called the Ashta Sattvika Bhava symptoms. You know, the hair standing on end, tears pouring from the eyes like torrents of rain. Described when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would cry, the tears would come out like from a syringe. In other words, they could go all the way across the room, practically speaking. That was the ecstasy. And of course, bumps in the skin, hairs on end. I mean, and sometimes Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic symptoms became manifested so much so that his arms extended, you know, several cubits, or they shrunk back within his body, and he appeared like a tortoise. This is all described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, then the Brahmanas got very confused by this whole thing, you know, seeing Lord Chaitanya, high-class sannyasi, high-class Brahmin family, embracing this Shudra who happened to be a governor. And normally, as we know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see people who had administrative positions in the government, particularly he refused to see King Prataparudra. He said, King Prataparudra may be a great devotee, but just by taking the name king, he has spoiled everything. He said, just like a drop of poison in a pot of nectar poisons all the nectar. So just by being a king. So he was very much averse to meeting with pound, shilling, and pence people. And this is, of course, due to the fact that he was concerned with reputation. Lord Chaitanya was concerned with reputation because that was part of his preaching. So the Brahmanas were confused, and Ramananda Roy... and Lord Chaitanya came back to external consciousness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why are you embracing me? I'm just a Mayavadi sannyasi. Because Lord Chaitanya had taken sannyas within the Mayavadi sampradaya from Keshava Bharati. But it's interesting, he didn't actually take Mayavadi sannyas because before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got the sannyas mantra, he gave the sannyas mantra to his guru. Interesting story in Chaitanya Mango and Chaitanya Bhagwat. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Keshava Bharati, he said, I had a dream last night and I heard this sannyas mantra and I'd like to repeat it to you to see if it's the actual correct mantra. So he repeated it or said it to Keshava Bharati and in this way initiated his guru before his guru initiated him. It was quite interesting. That way he was actually initiated in the proper Vaishnava sannyasa order rather than Mayavad sannyasa order. In Keshava Bharti was a Vaishnava sannyasi in any case, but he was within the Bharti Sampradaya, that's a particular Sampradaya, within the Shankara movement or the Shankara group. There's different, it's interesting, in India they have all these different Sampradayas within Sampradayas, and you're considered high class or low class depending upon which Sampradaya within which Sampradaya you're initiated in, or Gotras within Gotras. I mean, I was just speaking to one of my Gujarati friends, and he was saying that I have to marry someone, talking about himself, of course, he has to marry someone of his same Gotra. And I said, well, what sort of Gotra are you? He said, I'm in sub-Gotra, the Prajapati sub-Gotra. I said, oh, that means you're supposed to have a lot of children, you know, Prajapati. And he said, no, that's just a Gotra. So, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to meet with Ramananda Roy that evening and discuss Krishna Katha. And during that discussion, a lot of things came, interesting things came out. The first thing is they started talking about different subject matters as far as, you know, who is the topmost devotee. I'm going to go over this whole list in a second. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the position of being a student, and Ramananda Roy took the position of being the professor in this particular regard. So in other words, Lord Chaitanya was asking what we call rhetorical questions. That's a fancy name for a teacher who asks the students questions that he knows the answer to. And he's just trying to bring the student to a higher level in Socratic dialogues that's known as the Maieutic method. Maieutic means, in Greek, it means midwife.
How do you spell my?
I don't remember the Maieutic. I don't remember the spelling in English, but it's pronounced Maieutic, which means midwife. In other words, you ask questions of people, like Socrates did, to bring people to a higher philosophical understanding. Even though there may or may not be an answer to a particular question, you still ask those questions, so that, and then you find fault in their answers and say, you know, that's not quite right. That's not. And the Socratic dialogues, you see this all the time. Socratic dialogues were, of course, written by Plato, not by Socrates. And Plato actually uses Socrates as a person to elaborate on his philosophy. But he was a student or a disciple of Socrates. Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy embarked upon the same procedure. Lord Chaitanya asking these rhetorical questions. Rhetorical means to teach people. So he asked Ramananda Roy, first thing is, what is the ultimate goal of life? Yes, Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy replied, Varnashram. And, of course, Varnashram is a very important system to regulate society, to keep society, everyone engaged according to their psychophysical nature, either in their varnas or in their ashrams. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is external. Because we see many people within Varnashram who are demons. You know, I mean, Kshatriyas, you have Jarasandha, he was within Varnashram, and he was an absolute demon. And Shishupal, and of course others. I don't know if you can actually say that Ravana was within Varnashram, because he was a Rakshasa, but he had a Brahmin father and a Rakshasa mother. That's an interesting story. His father, Vishravas, was seduced by this Kekashi, who was a Rakshasini, because she wanted to have a Brahma Rakshasa son so the demons could defeat the demigods. That's from the Ramayana. I don't want to get into that story right now. So Lord Chaitanya rejected this. He said, you know, Varnashram is simply external. So tell me some other means. And then Ramananda Roy recited this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Yat Karoshi Yadashnashi Yajahoshi Dadasiyat. Whatever you offer, whatever you give away should be done as an offering to Krishna. And that seems really nice, isn't it? It is really nice. But Lord Chaitanya said, you know, this is also external. Now, why is that external? Because we find many people who offer things to Krishna with the idea of doing something for themselves, you know, getting something Karma Mishra Bhakti. That's called Karma Mishra Bhakti. Like if you go to Tirumala, that's on top of Tirupati on the hill, then in Tirumala you'll find people offering so many things but to do a business deal with Balaji. And they say, Balaji, if this business deal is successful, you get 50%, I get 50%. There was even one man who wanted to do a business deal and he wanted his son to offer some gold to Balaji. So he held his son over the hundi. The hundi means like the donation box. But the donation box in Tirumala is so big. It's like as big as the Vyasa Sangha. Has anyone here been to Tirumala? You've seen it, yeah.
And there's this sack also.
It's a sack, yeah.
It's this huge cloth sack.
It's a cloth sack that goes like this.
And it's very high up there, so you cannot see, you cannot put your hand in.
No, you can't steal. So that, and also they have several people counting simultaneously. So what happened is this man took his child up to offer some gold, and by accident he dropped the child in the donation box. It's a famous story. And then he said to the pujaris, can I have my son back? He said, no, no, you've offered him to Balaji. And so that son became one of the good pujaris of the temple. You've probably heard that story before. So you find people, all sorts of karma mishra bhaktis worshipping Krishna. And they even had this thing called Satyanarayan Katha, which is actually a whole ritual where people tell each other how much they got from worshipping Krishna. And they tell stories, you know, particularly like the story about the fruit seller who got gold coins, you know, when she offered a little fruit to Krishna for some grains, or Sudama Brahman's story. They love those stories. And then they talk to each other, yeah, I worship Krishna, and now I have a Mercedes. And so, it's very karmakandya. It's not exactly karmakandya, it's karma mishra bhakti. It's better than nothing. And so Lord Chaitanya rejected that, obviously. And then Ramananda Roy went further. He said, well, actually, the best thing is renounce Varnashram. Sarvadharmam Purushasham Mamekam Shavalam Vraja. Aham Tvam Sarvapapevyo Moksha Yashyami Masuchaha. Just give up all varieties of religiosity, renounce everything, and, you know, basically take sannyas. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, this is not really the point. Because you're just, because this was like jnana mishra bhakti, you know, you're interested in liberation. You know, interested in being in the Brahma Bhuta platform. This is simply external. And then Ramananda Roy recited a verse, Brahma Bhuta prasanatmana sochati na kankshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. And when it was on the Brahma platform, he enjoys. He doesn't hanker or lament. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, 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 you got to go higher. So he kept, these are called rhetorical questions, and he's correcting Ramananda Roy as Ramananda Roy is instructing him. So then Ramananda Roy recited something that did please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this particular verse, anya vilashita shunyam jnana karma navratam anukuyena krishna nushilanam bhakti rutamam, which is the nutshell verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Pure devotional service is devoid of any personal desire or impurity or anything like that, and it's done with a desire to please Krishna actively and according to what Krishna wants. Three standards, positive standards. And then Lord Chaitanya said, this is good. I like this. But I want you to go a little bit further than this. And then Ramananda Roy started discussing the bhavas, you know, the spiritual emotions. We talked a little bit about this the other day in class, the vibhava, that which excites you or stimulates the other emotions, and the anubhava, like the symptoms that come later, and the ashtasattvika bhava, the existential situation, the sthayi bhava, that means the steady bhava, and then finally the vyabhachari bhava, which is the uncontrolled, intermittent, ecstatic emotions that there are 33 of them that may occur at any moment without any warning. In a pure devotee, not within us. We have bhava rogue. You know what bhava rogue is? Rogue means disease. We have the disease bhavas. Like, you know, we like watching Bollywood movies or things like that. Not us, I mean, not me. And we just feel all happy inside seeing the hero get the heroine and, you know, romance stuff, isn't it? I don't like that stuff. But I mean, I would watch science fiction or something.
Or soccer game.
Soccer, I don't like so much. Well, mainly I like science fiction where there's a lot of fighting, you know, and all these weapons and like, boom, 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 like in Star Wars or something like that. So that's Baba Rogue. That's a disease Baba. You know, I really like that. I mean, I have to admit, that's my disease. So, nothing to be proud of. It's just a disease. And the expert physician has to analyze the disease and provide some cure for it, which is chanting the Lord's holy names and hearing Krishna's pastimes. So anyway, then Ramananda Roy described it like Baba, coming up to the point of lalyam, which means intense hankering or greed for pure devotional service. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is really good, but I want something more. And then Ramananda Roy began to describe the transcendental mood of servitude, because before servitude there's neutrality, which is what, even in the stage of neutrality, Shantaras, one experiences Babas. But in higher than that, then like Prabhupada, what was that story? Daruka, was it Daruka? Anyway, one of Krishna's servants was fanning him, and he was experiencing so much ecstasy fanning Krishna that he cursed his ecstasy because his ecstasy was actually interfering with his service. So, very important point. So servitude is higher than ecstasy. This is what Lord Chaitanya was trying to show Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was trying to illustrate in his talks with Lord Chaitanya. So then Lord Chaitanya said, very good, all right, but I want you to go higher than that. And then friendship, Sakyaras, we're like Arjuna as the friend of Krishna, and they're on the chariot. Krishna's driving the chariot. Sometimes they're on the same bed, and Arjuna is just putting his arm around Krishna and say, hey, buddy. You can imagine that, saying that to God, hey, buddy, how you doing today, Krishna? And then, Ramananda Roy explains that, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, go higher. And of course, higher than that is parental affection. And he describes Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna. Because in each of these rasas, as you go higher, there's more intimacy. And one takes a more superior position to that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Obviously, the parents are superior to the kid. And then finally, not finally, but as far as the final ras, he comes to conjugal ras, in which Krishna is actually controlled by the love of Srimati Radharani. And that's not only controlled by the love of Srimati Radharani, he's sometimes chastised and beaten. I mean, Mother Yashoda never beat Krishna, but Radharani and her associates sometimes beat Krishna. There's that story of the tax pass. There's a tax pastime, and that happened around Govardhan, where Krishna was stopping the gopis. They were bringing all these ingredients to Govinda Kund for a sacrifice, and the gopis and Krishna had a big argument. This story is told by Raghunath Das Goswami and Rupa Goswami too, where they had a big argument, how to pay, whether they can pay the taxes. Krishna got very romantic, trying to charge taxes for each part of Radharani's body. Your eyes, you should pay so many gold coins, your ears, so many gold coins, your nose, so many gold coins, your hair, etc. And then there was a big argument. Finally, it was settled. The gopis would come back the next day and pay the taxes. And so what happens, they came back with 10 million gopis, overpowered the coward boys, tied them to trees, and beat them with sticks. You find it. Of course, I'm sure it wasn't like heavy beating or anything like that. I mean, sometimes they really beat Madhu Mango. When Madhu Mango was stealing butter one time, he tried to climb out of a window and his rear end didn't fit through the window because he was kind of fat. And so they beat him in the rear end, with sticks. And finally, Krishna said, you committed a great offense against a Brahmin, so you have to apologize, atone for this offense. And so what happened is that Madhu Mangala said, you have to feed me sweet balls. And so they kept feeding him so many sweet balls, and finally became so intoxicated he offered benedictions to the gopis that they could always be with Krishna. Anyway. So in the conjugal rasa, you actually see one of the highest stages of conjugal rasa is the anger, mana, which is really interesting. There's this whole place in Braj called Manasarovara, which is the anger lake. That means basically the anger lake where Krishna goes and begs down and cries at Radharani's feet. There's actually pictures of this at Manasarovara. And he begs for forgiveness. And so this is pretty high, you know, pretty high position in devotional service. And so, and then even Lord Chaitanya said, well, you should go a little higher. And Ramananda Roy began to describe not only Radha and Krishna's love, and then Radha Kund, and then finally the highest pinnacle, the highest thing he described was the Vipralamba Seva, how Krishna left the Rasa dance and Radharani was left feeling separation. So that Vipralamba, or separation, is actually considered the highest stage of the conjugal Rasa and the moods that appear during that Vipralamba. And interestingly enough, Prabhupada said, when we distribute books and we preach Krishna consciousness, it's done in the mood of the gopis in the Vipralamba Seva, which is interesting. I mean, you just, if you compare or put these two things together, you can see how the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leads to the highest realizations in Krishna consciousness. So this was the whole discussion back and forth between Ramananda. There's actually more, actually. And then there's several things more, actually. I don't think we'll have time for Bhagavatam, because I have to leave this morning. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited this verse, Kiva Vipra, Kiva Vnyasi, Shudra Kena Naya, Ye Krishna Tapa Veda Se Guru Hoy, that I accept you as guru, because it doesn't matter whether you're a learned person or Shudra, whatever family you're from, because you know the science of Krishna. So they spent 10 days with each other talking and discussing different things. But one of the final discussions was in regard to just different topics Lord Chaitanya was asking about, you know, the best education and everything like that. Now I'm going to go through these different topics. Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, what is the best education one can have? And Ramananda Roy replied, devotional service is the best education. Of course, we should have other education too. I mean, it's obviously we don't want to be illiterate or uncouth, but devotional service is the most important education. Without that, all other education is useless. And then Lord Chaitanya asked, what is the most glorious activity? And Ramananda Roy replied, devotees and devotional service is the most glorious activity. And then Lord Chaitanya said, who is the topmost or richest capitalist? This is interesting. In other words. And then Ramananda Roy replied, he who has the most or richest in love for Radha and Krishna, he's the best capitalist. So that may apply to people from a certain ethnic background who like money. Anyways, so what is the most painful distress was the next question. And this is interesting too. Separation from the devotees. In other words, to live, not live with devotees. And Rupa Goswami says to live with non-devotees like living in a cage of fire or lions and tigers. You know, in other words, it's just, we should always stick in the association. No matter how difficult it is, you know, obviously we have conflicts. You hear about this all the time. You know, I was just at one farm community, it should remain nameless, and I said, oh, everybody must love each other here. And they said, yeah, anyway, you probably know which farm community. He said, no, we have conflicts and we have to just sit and work it out. So like in any family, there's conflicts. I mean, I had a brother and I had so many conflicts with him. We used to beat each other up all the time. So, you know, it's not that you expect some utopia in the society of devotees. That would, utopia means like some perfection, mental speculative perfection where everybody just joins hands and chants kumbaya together. It's not, you're not going to get that anywhere. Even in the spiritual world, you know, you have the gopis beating Krishna and, you know, things like that happening. So don't expect utopia, but being with devotees always reminds us of Krishna. But we don't want to be with devotees who are offensive to other Vaishnavas. I mean, that's the one thing. But devotees who are not offensive, even if someone's like just beginning devotional service, we offer our respects in the mind, according to Rupa Goswami. If someone is initiated properly and following strictly, we offer dandavats you know, a bunch of Kalpata Guru's child. As someone who's actually very advanced, we become their servant. Anyway, so then the next question, what is the greatest liberated person? And the answer was, he who has love for Krishna. And what is the best song? And the best songs are songs about Radha and Krishna. Then the best and auspicious activities, only auspicious activities are associated with devotees. And what should one remember all the time? And the answer was Krishna's pastimes, names, form, qualities, etc. And the meditation, what meditation is required? The lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And where should one live? This is an interesting question. The answer was Brajabhumi. And of course, this temple is non-different than Brajabhumi. We should understand that. Not that everybody has to go to Vrindavan. And actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said when you go to Vrindavan, you should only stay 2 weeks anyway. Because if you stay any longer, you'll become complacent. Jai Gandharavika Giridhari Jai. You'll become complacent and commit offenses against the Vaishnavas there. So, therefore we live in the association of devotees and we make our home a temple and we come regularly to see the deities. I mean, that, to me, staying here in this temple is just like, wow, it's like going back to Godhead. That's the way I feel when I'm here. I mean, I've been telling that to the devotees also in Almaksgar, isn't it? I said, this is a spiritual world. This is wonderful to be a benediction, to be able to live here or to come here on a regular basis, isn't it? We're not grateful enough in Krishna consciousness. We take these things for granted. I mean, just be able to sit in front of Radha and Krishna like this? Wow. I mean, how many people in this world get a chance to sit in front of Radha and Krishna and see their arti, see their smiling faces? Very few. And so we're in Vrindavan right now, and that's the same Krishna, Sakshat Vrajendra Nandana. That's the same Krishna that's in Vrindavan. It's not that you have to go to Vrindavan to see Krishna. He's here. So, you know, we should take care of the deities and whatever, come to see the deities. So then, let's go through the whole list. Actually, there's many more questions here. What is the best worshipable object? The holy name of Radha and Krishna. That's the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. What's the destination? Here's another one, not about devotees. Destination of those who want liberation and those who want sense gratification. Those who want liberation get bodies like those of trees. And this is Ramananda Roy replying. And those who want sense grad get to go to the higher planets to be like demigods, which is actually miserable. And Ramananda Roy attributed his words. He said, actually, you're the one who's speaking through me. It's not that I'm saying these things. And this is, of course, a devotee's mentality, that Krishna is actually speaking through me to elaborate on Krishna consciousness. Not that these things are not coming from me. That you are in my heart, he was saying to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited the form of Shyamasundara. He, this bluish form. And then he exhibited his golden form. Again, and Ramananda Roy asked him, you know, what's happening? What is this? And, you know, I'm seeing Krishna and then I'm seeing you. I mean, what's happening? And Lord Chaitanya said, this is because you're an advanced devotee and you see Krishna everywhere. And Ramananda Roy said, you know, give up these tricky talks. You know, I know who you are. And Ramananda Roy recognized him as Krishna in the mood of Radharavi, and he saw Radha and Krishna is one. Lord Chaitanya exhibited this form where Radha and Krishna are like intertwined. I think some of you have seen this picture. And he saw Radha and Krishna's form as one. And then Lord Chaitanya said to him, besides you, no one has ever seen this form before. It's amazing. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm telling you a secret. My body is golden because it has touched the body of Radharani. Wow. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? In other words, Krishna is saying, my body has turned golden because it's touched the body of Radharani. And of course, that's the esoteric reason for Lord Chaitanya's advent, that he wanted to understand Radha and Krishna's love or see himself from Radharani's perspective and enjoy from Radharani's perspective. So there's just one other story quickly, because I guess that can be time for Bhagavatam. But there's one other story about Ramananda Roy. Once upon a time, there was this great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Pradyumna Mishra. And he wanted to hear about Radha Krishna's pastimes, the same pastimes that Lord Chaitanya Ramananda Roy discussed in Rajamundri. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yo, you should go see Ramananda Roy to hear about these things. So he went to see Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy wasn't in his house. He was teaching the Devi Dasis how to dance. And Devi Dasis are like the private dancers for Lord Jagannath. And as he was teaching them, you know, he was bathing them. You know, here's a man, and these are young girls too, and bathing their, you know, their bodies and decorating their bodies and dressing their bodies so they can entertain Lord Jagannath. And so Pradyumna Mishra was waiting for Ramananda Roy to finish that, and then Ramananda Roy came back too late, and Pradyumna Mishra said, well, please accept my obeisances, we don't have time today, I just wanted to see you. Then he went back to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya explained to him, when he presented his doubts before Lord Chaitanya, this is what Ramananda Roy was doing. Lord Chaitanya said, only Ramananda Roy has the prerogative to interact with young girls like that, because he fully identifies himself in the spiritual form. And Lord Chaitanya said, because I'm not advanced like that, I'm a sannyasi, even if I see the wooden statue of a woman, I get disturbed. So, of course, Lord Chaitanya obviously was just teaching us the lesson, how to be very, very careful in the interactions between men and women. So then Lord Chaitanya sent him back, and he went back to see Ramananda Roy, and Ramananda Roy elaborated on these different subject matters that we just talked about to Pradyumna Mishra. So this was Ramananda Roy's exalted position. He was one of the 3.5 personalities who Lord Chaitanya talked, mentioned the topics of Radha and Krishna with. Otherwise, Lord Chaitanya publicly really didn't talk about Radha and Krishna. Publicly, it was just chant Hare Krishna, you're going to be happy. Nowadays, in ISKCON, of course, I mean, there's so much public talk about Radha and Krishna, isn't it? It's become a different society, and I think it's people are taking it a little too cheaply in our society. Because Prabhupada, we were with Prabhupada in Los Angeles, and Prabhupada was dealing with this group called the Gopi Baba Club. And their theme song, before they met, like every other night, was Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, you know, the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari, which is the siddha form of Rupa Goswami. And Prabhupada got so angry that he turned red and he said, they're going to destroy our movement, stop all the preaching in our Krishna consciousness movement. And he said, instead of becoming purified, they're getting putrefied by talking about these intimate subject matters. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited this caution in his interactions or talking about Radha Krishna with only 3.5 people, because you may ask who the half person was that was Sikhi Mahiti's sister. And it's not actually that women are considered half, because sometimes people ask me that question. It's just that when people are married, they're considered half, each person is considered half of the whole, both the man and the woman. So, you know, if someone is married and I only see the man, you're only a half. And the woman is the half, and you put them both together in the whole. So that's an interesting way to explain it, so the women don't get upset. Because, you know, it was actually Ramananda Roy's Rupa Dabhadhar Goswami, Sikhi Mahiti, and Sikhi Mahiti's sister. And that was the only people who Lord Chaitanya talked about intimate exchanges of between Ram and Krishna. So any questions or comments? I cover a lot of ground about this. We don't have time for Bhagavatam. But it's important to observe these appearance and disappearance days and hear about these great personalities. And the stories I told are all from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada wrote one book called the Ramananda Samvada about this. I don't know if the BBT's ever published that book. But it's a book that was discovered in Prabhupada's quarters. You know, Prabhupada personally wrote it. And it details the discussion with Prabhupada's purport about the discussion. It may be on the Veda base, I'm not sure, but I have a copy of it anyway on my computer. Prabhupada's purport on the discussion in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
It was found in Prabhupada's quarters.
Quarters, yeah.
In Vrindavan?
Vrindavan, yeah. Yeah, the devotees went later on to Prabhupada's quarters. I mean, recently they just went to Prabhupada's quarters in Delhi and discovered a lot of stuff, too.
Like what?
Books, manuscripts, Prabhupada's personal belongings. I mean, the quarters in that temple hadn't been opened up for like 30, 40 years or something like that.
It was a locked door.
Nobody had ever opened it. And the devotees just went in, and they discovered all this nectar stuff, you know, that's invaluable. Manuscripts and things that Prabhupada had written. I mean, just like now, the Bhaktivedanta Research Institute is discovering so many manuscripts of Bhaktivedanta Thakur. I was just talking to Prana the other day, yesterday, about that. And he was telling me about all these manuscripts about Bhaktivedanta Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that hadn't been published yet, or translated yet. So it's exciting. I mean, we have all this. Our heritage, you know, all these riches, these are our real riches.
They also claim that they have now Lord Chaitanya's
handwriting. Yeah, Lord Chaitanya's handwriting.
Small fragment, but
that's pretty amazing, isn't it?
That claim, if that's true, wow.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. And then they're digitizing all that, so it'll be available for us to see. And, you know, Hari Shari is heading up that project in Calcutta. Very important project. I mean, it's our real Grantha Samadhi. In Vrindavan, we have this thing called Grantha Samadhi at the Madan Mohan Temple, where all the Granthas, all the scriptures of the Goswamis, are actually encapsulated in a tomb. And hopefully one day they'll open it up. You can see this. I don't know the sacrilegious stuff. But, you know, before those Granthas disintegrate, I mean, we should have access to them, and because they're the original writings of Rupa and Sanatana and Goswami, and some of the other Goswamis. And so we need to digitize these things for posterity, in other words, to keep them forever and ever and ever, and then back up all the digitized files in millions of different places around the world, so that they're never lost, even if there's an atomic war. Yeah, I mean, this is our heritage. So, any other questions or comments?
We're planning to put the
clay tablets.
Because they are the last. You know, when you go down to the thousands of years old civilization, the only thing that's left is clay.
Clay.
Nothing else. So, steel or clay, and steel is very expensive. Clay is cheaper.
Steel, I guess it would have to be like high class stainless steel.
Yeah.
So.
But clay lasts forever.
Forever.
That's
interesting. So how would you put them in? You just...
I have researched that. You take the films say the Bhagavad Gita, create photopolymer plates. You know what that is?
Yeah, I know what that is.
Like you put the film on, you expose UV light.
Yeah.
Wherever the light goes, it gets hardened.
Right.
So you take a negative film. Then you develop in water, all the soft polymer washes out. Now you have actually a relief of the letters, and then you press them into clay.
Ah,
so I'm working on that process, because otherwise it would take, if you have to inscribe this into clay, you're going to sit there for 10 years.
Or
longer. If you the whole Bhagavatam, you're going to
on clay tablets.
Ideally, I'm starting with the Gita.
Oh my God. How much space would that take up?
You fire the clay. It's going to be... First, you have the photopolymer plates. They're already water-resistant, because they... But it doesn't matter. They're just a tool. You throw them away afterwards.
Mm.
And then you press them into clay. Now you have the Bhagavad Gita in clay. What do you call this? The letters are...
Raised.
No, not raised. They...
Indented. Yeah.
Inwards. And then you can, if you want, you can put a little bit of...
Glaze.
Ink, black ink or soot or whatever. Oh. In 10,000 years, if you don't want to read it, you just put a little bit of soot and you can read it.
Wow.
And plus we need to... The problem is to create a Rosetta Stone. In other words, a tablet that explains... what all this is, so that if somebody plants it in 5 or 10,000 years, that they can understand what these letters, because yeah. people have a different alphabet in 10,000 years.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Everything has different meanings. So we have to create a Rosetta Stone. You know the Rosetta
Yeah, I know what a Rosetta Stone is.
It was in Greek and in the Egyptian and one more language. It was in three languages. So we have to create the Rosetta Stone is the challenge. The technical challenges are solved.
But how many tablets would that be? And how much space?
How many pages we have in the Gita?
How much space would it take up?
The Gita room will be 6 by 6 meters, and you have the walls. On the walls, you have the entire Gita.
Oh, on the walls.
Not plastered, because if there's an earthquake, they crack.
Yeah.
But if you hang them from two pins,
yeah.
even an earthquake is not going to destroy the tablet.
Underground or what?
No. Accessible to the public.
Well,
the plan is, I mean, I'm working with Narishwan, I'm talking to him, I hope that we're going to get permission to build the Gita house in Mayapur. That would be the ideal place. So even if there's a flood or if there's an earthquake, whatever, it's not going to get destroyed.
Wow.
So you have, the real challenge is the Rosetta Stone, to create a system that people in 5 or 10 or 20,000 years will understand and be able to decipher to understand what these hieroglyphs...
Yeah, for them it's hieroglyphs.
The hieroglyphs really mean. But it's possible.
Wow.
Because as soon as the Rosetta Stone was found, I don't know where they found it, I guess in Egypt, right?
Yes.
As soon as that stone was found...
They could translate everything.
Everything was translatable. So if we can come up with a... You know, we need a scholar for that... Kind of, it's not encryption, it's decryption. It's possible.
How about sending to another planet?
Yeah, why not?
Sending Gita, Bhagavatam to the moon.
Is NASA able to reach other planets? Are we sure about that?
That's another discussion. We're not going to talk about that.
I think let's stick to planet Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
But one or two Gita houses would be great. I mean, that's the... It would be fantastic. I have the clay. I'm already doing experiments.
Wow,
yeah.
That's interesting.
I would like to have a pyramid in Korsnäs with all the Srila Prabhupada's
a pyramid
entombed in concrete. I just talked with Vidya. I think Vidya about it a few days ago. The idea is to have all of Prabhupada's writings, either in clay or in stainless steel, entombed, so that even if there's a nuclear blast or whatever in a few thousand years, somebody hacks open it. I have an image, for example, I have a photo, I just saw it the other day, a photo of Srila Prabhupada, which is guaranteed 1,000 years. A photo. Guaranteed pigment stability for at least 1,000 years on substrate, on plastic.
What about copper plates?
Yeah, it would work. Copper would work also.
And then you can have a laser etch things in the copper plates.
Yeah, but that's possible. We need more technology for that. With plates. Sorry? Yeah, but if you entomb it in a pyramid, you're gonna hear them when they start fizzling on the concrete, and then you stop them. So,
oh my God, this sounds interesting.
We have to think ahead. We don't know what's gonna happen. I mean, without the pyramids down there in Egypt, we wouldn't know very much about
that's true
about the Egyptian society. And that was only a few thousand years ago.
Interesting. Time capsule?
Time capsule. That's what it's all about.
Time capsule, yeah. All right.
But the question then is, which version of the private Peter show?
Let's probably still be criticizing 10,000 years from now. All right. Oh, my God. In between. All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll all be around to see that 10,000 years from now. We'll be this short, you know, living underground, eating each other, you know. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, because actually the other media won't last that long.
No, nothing's gonna last. Except for steel, maybe steel, but clay definitely, that's proof, that lasts. Clay lasts for 50,000, 100,000 years, no problem.
Mm.
It's like rock. It's undisturbed.
Or stone would actually last it.
Yeah, but how do you get it into stone?
Laser technology.
Clay.
It'll last forever, yeah.
Because like in Cambodia, many stone tablets for temples, 800-900 years, it's disintegrating the Pali or the moon or the Sanskrit.
Wow. You have to put booby traps too. So if someone breaks in, you know, they get shot with a bow or something like that.
Oh yeah.
It's like the Ark of the Covenant, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, gold would be great if somebody wants to give us this. You know, gold lasts forever. This is completely uncorrodible and fantastic.
Oh,
that's a dream.
But you get all of Sweden breaking
in. But everybody's
anyway.
Going to crash. That's the problem. So if you do it in clay, nobody wants it.
Yeah, gold, everybody will be here from the whole Sweden, yeah.
Nobody wants to find a clay tablet. What do they care about?
Yeah.
So clay, I still think clay is the ideal medium.
All right, good. Sounds good. Well, we got to get going. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yeah, one more question.
By the way, are you
leaving this morning? That's why.
I thought you were leaving on the 23rd.
No.
Somebody told me on the 23rd.
No, this morning.
Oh, can I ask you one more question?
Yeah.
Since we're just talking about books, because I wanted to ask you that question for a few days already. There is this controversy in our movement that should the BBT correct the books?
Mm.
Right? So, and there's one camp of the devotees, including the fringe, they say the potency is gone because some words were changed, were edited, right?
Mm.
So I thought about something the other day. Is there potency in the Finnish or Swedish or Chinese Bhagavad Gita?
Of course.
But Prabhupada has not spoken one single word.
In Chinese.
Not a single Chinese word was spoken by Prabhupada. Not a single word of the Swedish Bhagavad Gita was spoken, except for a few commas and
Yeah.
There's nothing there. So how is the potency in a translation?
What's
and
called
why would the potency be gone if we edit the text here and there are a little bit better.
If we say they say the potency is gone, that means that I'm not allowed to preach Krishna consciousness. Because there's no potency in anything I say, because I'm putting...
Well, if you say exactly the same words as Srila Prabhupada...
But I'm not. You know, when I give class, I don't. I'm not a parrot. I mean, I don't remember exactly the same words as Prabhupada. I'm putting Krishna consciousness into my own words.
Right.
So if there's no potency in re-editing the book, then there's no potency in any of us preaching either.
Good point.
We might as well just all shut our mouths.
I think that would be the natural conclusion.
Yeah, and then just play Prabhupada's sacred Bhagavad Gita. But when we translate the books, you have someone who does fidelity too, right?
Right.
Not only the translation, you have someone checking the fidelity. Listen, you probably have someone, because I worked on Spanish translation. I translated books into Spanish. So we would have someone like with headphones listening to someone reading Prabhupada's book and then reading the other book.
Yeah, so
that's fidelity. So part of the process of producing books. So, why wouldn't it have the potency?
Okay, is there more potency in the Bhagavad Gita than around the 1977 than in the
why?
Chinese Bhagavad Gita, if it's properly translated?
Why?
No, I'm asking you,
there
more?
No, I would say the exact same potency, if it's properly translated.
If it's properly translated?
Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah, why not?
So this basically dismantles the argument that the potency is gone.
Yeah, because it's parampara. I mean, otherwise you would say, you know, that Krishna spoke something, and unless Prabhupada is exactly repeating what Krishna said, there would be no potency what Prabhupada said either. The whole process of parampara, as long as the editing is done by someone in the parampara, Krishna Advaita Maharshi is in the parampara. And he's so conservative, too.
Yeah.
Well, he's so conservative, it shocks me sometimes. And he's sarcastic too. And we're from the same ethnic background too. You know, so you know, it's parampara. That's actually what we're talking about. Is there parampara or is there not parampara?
Right.
And in parampara, the message and the potency is transmitted as long as the person is following strictly. Yeah. Yes. Well, first of all, most of the corrections are making it closer to what Prabhupada said, and a lot of the corrections, I mean, if you look on the internet, are due to people not hearing Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was dictating, you know, because, you know, what is that famous one, Planet of the Cows?
Planet of the Trees.
Planet of the Trees, yeah. What was that, actually?
Petries. Planet of the Petries.
Yeah, the Petries. So the devotees heard Planet of the Trees, which is what Prabhupada didn't say. You know, because when Prabhupada's books were originally published, we had devotees who didn't know a word of Sanskrit, and they just heard Prabhupada, and according to their English understanding of what they thought Prabhupada was saying. So a lot of these corrections are just bringing it very, very close to what Prabhupada originally said.
So even if it is critically said, you correct
this. Yeah.
But why, but the potency gets lost when a sentence is expressed slightly differently. And my point is, a Chinese translation is not a word-for-word translation.
No.
The translator understands the meaning and expresses it in his own language. That's a good translation.
Exactly. You can't do a verbatim translation anyway.
So in 1,000 years, the English we have today will be non-understandable. There will anyways, if there is still English around, there will be a new English edition, correct?
Yeah. We'll all be speaking Chinese.
Sorry?
No, but Prabhupada didn't. We didn't change the Sanskrit.
The language.
No, but that's why I want to translate the Bhagavad Gita into Sanskrit, but I haven't found a translator yet.
Another interesting point is that we're followers of the Itihasa Puranas. The original Vedas had to be repeated verbatim. You know, like the Atharva Veda, Yajur Veda, Samaveda Veda. That was the procedure. You had to learn verbatim with the right melody, with the right intonation and everything like that. But when you get into the Puranas and Itihasas, then it's Siddhanta is the important thing anyway.
Right.
You know, and so that's why people criticize. That's why some Indologists criticize the Puranas or the Itihasas, the histories like Mahabharata, as being more recent. Because they're written in more recent Sanskrit. Because they're a word of, in other words, they were transmitted word of mouth through stories, rather than the verbatim original Sanskrit of the four Vedas. You understand what I'm talking about? Jayananda, you understand this, right? The original four Vedas were always repeated verbatim. In other words, word by word, intonation by intonation, melody by melody, and they have to be memorized completely. Whereas the Itihasas and the Puranas were story form. And so they were each and every stage, even though they were pure devotees in each and every stage of the disciplic succession, the wording was different. But the Siddhanta was the same. So therefore you had more modern Sanskrit in the Itihasas and the Puranas. Not because they're more modern stories, some people will argue, but because they were transmitted in different fashion. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense.
It makes sense.
But Maharaj, there is no change in Sanskrit.
No, the Sanskrit has changed throughout the years. Yes, it has.
Sanskrit
Here's our expert, your expert in Sanskrit. Sanskrit, there's modern Sanskrit, there's ancient Sanskrit. I mean, I'm not a Sanskrit scholar, but I talked to Hridayananda Maharaj about it, who is our most erudite scholar in Sanskrit.
That's a Sanskrit word for the word internet.
Sanskrit has changed like any other language. There's modern, like Bengali, the Sadhu Bhash, which the Chaitanya Charitamrita is written in, but there's modern Bengali, which is vastly different than the original Chaitanya. And you find some modern Bengalis who can't understand Sadhu Bhash, which is what the Chaitanya... Language changes with time. You can also digitize things on clay.
You can.
You know, that, like I've heard of people digitizing like whole CD-ROMs or whatever on a piece of paper with certain markings, and they're scanned later on, so you can also do that on clay. Anyway, we're getting technical. I don't want to get into all the... But in any case, it's Param Pura.
Right, that's the main, that's a very, very good
point. I'm definitely giving class, and I'm not speaking the same words that Prabhupada spoke. I'm explaining it according to time, place, and circumstance. But if I say by changing the words of Prabhupada there's no potency, then I should just give up preaching. I should just get a tape recorder and play Prabhupada's message recorder, MP3 player. Instead, you know, okay, it's time for Bhagavatam class, right? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Here's Prabhupada, you know. He's going to give class today.
It's not bad, but that's not Param Pura.
That's not Param Pura. Then what do I have to do? I have to fight
myself. Exactly.
And, you know, watch Star Trek, you know, for the rest of my life. I was an easy life, you know, just eat prasadam and die. You know. What's that?
We'll make MP3
players.
Yeah,
make MP3 players. Distribute MP3 players to people.
That's what you should do.
I mean, people even have the argument, this is even, it even goes further than that, that Prabhupada is not present in his MP3s.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That was an argument that was made by one devotee's not wow. with us anymore. Mm-hmm. That Prabhupada, you have to be in the physical presence of someone to actually get transcendental knowledge or sound vibration.
Well, then, because it's better, but you have both.
Yeah, but they said it's not like, they were talking about initiation, because many of us receive second initiation from Prabhupada by tape.
Right.
And they said, well, it's probably getting worse. You were never really initiated, because the tape can't transmit transcendental sound. It has to come only from the physical presence. You can imagine that? There's all these like weird arguments that come out.
Yeah.
But the body is a machine too. Like if you say, well, you have to be in the physical presence, but what's the physical presence? It's a machine. Mm-hmm. Even the body of a pure devotee is a machine that he's using. It's just like a tape recorder or whatever else. And but the sound is coming, Goloka Era Premadana Harinam Sankirtan, is coming from Goloka Vrindavan. So it's like, it's like the radio. You know, the radio is transmitting the sound from thousands of kilometers away. In the same way, the Goloka Vrindavan sound is coming through either the mouth or the infantry by anything in the book. Or the letters in the book. The poems are the same. Yeah, there's no difference. I mean, I was with Prabhupada personally sitting in classes, and, you know, there's just as much potency hearing an MP3 of Prabhupada sitting in one of our reading Prabhupada's books. I mean, I get more out of hearing from Prabhupada now than I did 30-something years ago because I was so damn young at that point. I was just fighting off sleep during the class.
The energy of the speaker?
Yeah, the potency is transmitted. The potency, you know, what is the potency? Is that Krishna in the heart is revealing things to you. If you're getting things in Param Pura, it's not a material thing, the potency of the sound vibration. It's not like some witch and, you know, chanting some mantra, boil, double trouble, cauldron burn, you know, stuff. But it's not that. It's that Krishna knows you're receiving it from the authorized source, and the potency is manifest through the super soul and the heart. Bhavanti, Rikarna, or Sayanakata. When the sound vibration goes to the heart, the super soul gives you the realization. So it's actually super soul. Or Krishna in the heart, you know, if you're Hanuman and Superman in the heart, that's actually giving you the realization. So that's what we call the potency. You know, why would Prabhupada send anyone out to preach if we didn't have the potency to preach? The books obviously have the same potency, and translation has the same potency, if they're done by devotees. But even Prabhupada, the original German books were translated by Professor Wolff. It's interesting. Under Prabhupada's direction, Prabhupada empowered someone who wasn't a devotee. I met Professor Wolff. I mean, he passed away a long time since. He lived in Los Angeles, actually. Prabhupada empowered someone who wasn't a devotee to translate. So how can we say, even then, Prabhupada was able to empower someone who wasn't even in the ship of succession to do it. So it's all it's a question of empowerment and blessings for the people.
Thank you
so much. Thank you. Thank
you.
From here to Finland.
Okay. That's a new place.
Yeah, but I'm not allowed to visit.
Why not?
He doesn't like me to visit the president.
That's Obama?
That's Obama.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'm going there to visit.
He said, no, come on.
I wrote him a letter. I said, can I come to the temple? And he said, you're welcome to visit your disciples.
No, come on.
Yeah.
It's a long story.
It's
so weird. Finland was part of the Scandinavian. He had a very strong corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so.
Yeah, because
I have no other explanation.
Well, really what happened is the Sahotra Maharaj, he had a spiritual trouble, he had a mental trouble. I brought him to America to try to help him. Put him under the care of a psychiatrist who's a devotee. And then Sahotra Maharaj heard from Vidyapurna Maharaj that it was all Maya, and he dropped the psychiatrist thing. And then I was blamed by Tatwavada for Sahotra Maharaj's problems.
Seriously?
Yeah. I mean, this is the whole thing.
That's the beast. Oh, you see, again, it's the Sahotra connection here.
Yes, Sahotra.
That's what it is.
And eventually, Sahotra Maharaj died in Mayapur, as you know. But there's many people saying that he commits suicide.
Well, there are other people who... I've just heard about the devotee who found him.
Yeah.
Didn't look like suicide. Just looked like an overdose.
Overdose.
Yeah, of course.
It was. That's suicide.
No, it's not suicide. It was an overdose. It was an accidental overdose.
Of drugs.
Of drugs. He was in the cocktail.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to me, that's
cocktails of psychoactive. All the opiates. So, and why did Sahota, like for example, why did Sahota Swami, or I didn't know, I knew him quite well, but why did he, the question is, why did he inspire Tatvavada and the Finnish devotees to separate from Scandinavia, from Sweden?
I can't really say. He did that.
There's a theory.
Yeah.
He was afraid of us. Sahota was afraid of us.
He was really like a separatist. He was into dark things.
No, he was afraid. Afraid of why? Because he knew things.
I mean, pornography and everything like that.
Not only that.
Yeah.
He didn't like to come to Krishna's. He was afraid of Krishna's. Because there are too many people here who knew what he was doing on the German farm.
He abused your wife's son, actually, didn't he?
No.
He did?
No. But he abused Samarupa's son.
Yeah, that's right. I remember. Yeah.
Samarupa's son.
Yeah, he was guilty of child abuse.
he and Kripa Rama, they put a candle in Oliver's rear end
and lit it.
And let him run around and
holy God.
Crude stuff.
Yeah, he was very much into very crude, degraded stuff.
I think the word bizarre covers it all.
He had severe psychological problems.
Absolutely. So it's a speculation, but we think that and Tathavada, of course, he has a military background. He's a simple devotee.
Yeah.
He had influence. And now he's there totally under the influence of
Bhakti Purnamaraj. And as Bhakti Purnamaraj, he told Sokumaraj to stop taking the medicine that he had prescribed for him, the doctor prescribed for him. He told him it was Maya. And I think that caused him to go deeper into a depression. This doctor, he's a very good psychiatrist, Nitai Gaur Sundar. I don't know if you ever met him. He's in the United States. Sokumaraj was staying with me for a while in the United States. I was trying to help him as my godbrother, And then, but he just rejected that because under the influence of Bhakti Vijayapurnamaraj.
He would have rejected it anyways. He was a very troubled man.
Yeah.
Very troubled.
Yeah, he was very,
very extremely troubled. He went to the same school as Alice Cooper.
Really?
They knew each other.
Well, Alice Cooper's just putting on an act. I don't think he's actually like that.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's weird.
I mean, so what is...
And he used to
read. There are people who say that there is a relationship, a bloodline between Sahotra Swami and Aleister Crowley.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if that's ever been looked into, but apparently there is.
Might have
been. You know about Aleister Crowley?
Yeah.
Sahotra Swami's name was Crowley.
Really?
Yeah, same name.
Probably there was a relationship then.
Some people claim that there was a blood direct relationship. Wow. That he was into the very, very strange and weird stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he had all these DVDs, they were tapes at that time. We discovered, I went to, went to Norway to his room.
Oh my God, there was a whole collection, huh?
Yeah, there was a whole big collection. You know, the Tilakanath told me about everything that was happening, because I investigated.
Oh, I see, I didn't know. No, there was a lot of stuff.
Because I did the investigation, I was blamed for everything.
Really?
Yeah. Come in, you can make the offer. Yeah, that's it.
You want this one?
Yeah, once you do that, and there was another thing. Oh, okay, thank you.
That's
horseradish. It's horseradish, yeah.
That's healthy,
isn't it? Yeah, it's the best thing for you, anti-cancer, and everything. You'll make the offering, Mike. You can make the offering. Let me show you this thing. There was something else, some other food I wanted.
Should be offered.
No, not offered, but... anyway.
Okay.
Great. This is the raw footage. I mean, we later edited it. This is some of this is used in the Mayapur film. We flew it all the way from the household area all the way to this thing. It's like over a kilometer away. You couldn't see the cop. Couldn't see the cop. I mean, much too far away.
But you saw the footage.
But we could see through the glasses. Pretty good.
Wow.
Okay.
That's fantastic
footage. Yeah. The GoPro is actually very, very good. It's a professional quality.
It's super wide angle, of course.
Yeah.
That's
well, you can adjust it. I mean, it doesn't have to be.
Can
you go? Yeah, you can see this too if you want.
Oh,
and there's the Samadhi, of course. The Ganges, the temple. Pretty far out, isn't it? And
wow.
Very high quality.
What's the screen house in the red? What's that in the red and green?
That's some motel across the street.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a new building. It's one of those, skyscraper buildings.
Yeah.
The sound is terrible.
Yeah, but that doesn't, you don't use.
You don't use the sound.
You never use the sound.
This is, this was later used.
Let's just go turn the sound off.
Yeah, I can turn it off.
Turn it off.
Sounds like a beep. This was later used by the Mayapur temple
this particular video in one of their presentations.
So you're not as high as this crane here.
No, we couldn't go. We can go higher than the crane. Yeah. We didn't. We just, there's no need to, because we wanted to go inside the building.
Oh, really? You did?
Not to go down, because we'd lose contact.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you would lose contact. That's right. But if you would stand up there, you could control
it. Yeah,
yeah. Could go
yeah, he did a, my friend did another shot today. So, this is the auditorium, and this is the temple.
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
Not long ago.
Oh, 2 months, 3 months ago, in February.
Because when I was there, this was not, it was not as high this year. This
it was
middle.
Like February, March.
This is the dome.
This is the main temple. You can see the temple construction and the altar. And construction. See how we're controlling the camera. So I can't even have the camera point down.
How big is this one, the whole area down there?
It's pretty big.
Wow. Oh, this is fantastic footage.
And it's really cool because you've got this mount that actually cushions it.
Look at that. Could you hover above the the temple? You don't have to constantly...
You don't have to move.
You can also hover.
You don't need, it's easy to hover because it has a GPS. If you just leave it alone, it'll stay in the same position forever.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so easy to control. This one, my previous one, that's why we lost it, because it was so hard to control.
So this is a DJ?
This is a DJ of Phantom 2.
Which costs what, $1,000?
$800.
And that can carry a GoPro?
Mm-hmm.
What? Aircraft that costs $100?
$800.
$800.
Yeah.
$800.
That's cheap.
Yeah. It's not aircraft, it's just a little thing
like that. But you want to also sitting
no. No. I wouldn't do that.
maybe a mouse could sit on it, but
I mean, it's quite dangerous. Like I got my hand got chopped up one time by one of the copters we had. Good.
That's
okay,
here I am.
You're there, on this building?
Yeah.
And that's coming down
to the top of one of the buildings in the Grahasta area.
That's fantastic. Is that
Mayapur? That's
Mayapur. Where are they building the guest house for all the guests?
Right, and that's it. And then I'll show you the one where we lost. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that. Man, this is amazing footage.
Yeah, I mean, you can take it. It's easy to take this footage. Let's see, GoPro, where's the other one, Maya 4? I know I have it here.
What's the file format, do you know?
It's an MP4.
MP4.
Is it Maya 4 username? No, it's not Maya 4. It's here somewhere.
Yeah, I want to see the one you crashed into the cushion. I want to see it.
It's embarrassing.
No, I need to see that.
What happened?
They had a helicopter and it crashed it into the Kusum Sarovar. But I guess it just kept filming because the GoPro is waterproof.
Yeah, we use the waterproof housing on that one.
It crashed?
Did it survive?
They crashed the helicopter into the Kusum Sarovar.
Yeah.
And they have there's a camera mounted on this quadcopter and with four rotors. So I want to see the footage when it went into the water.
Yeah, no, I was just looking at it the other day. It has to be here because I was just looking at it.
Well,
No, that was 2 years ago. I've been doing this helicopter stuff for years.
I can play this thing.
Curious.
The meeting continues here.
Here we go. Videos, helicopter.
Crashing helicopter.
Come here.
Is it that one?
That's one. Let's see, there's one more half music to it.
Oh, we don't
need that. Yeah, but no, it's really nice with the music.
Is it?
Here we go.
Then you don't hear the crash.
This is going to be
very impressive. What I talked about, the helicopter, they've already been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm. Where?
Look at this. Now they're crashing one into the cushion server. I want to see.
Is this the underwater?
Yeah.
This
is a different copter. This is not this is very hard to operate this copter.
Okay.
Because this copter had no GPS on it. The DJI is fantastic. I mean you really can't lose control of it. Okay. If you lose contact it comes back and lands where it starts.
So this is the same camera?
This is a GoPro, yeah. This is
also darn good, isn't it?
Yeah. But you see it's not
the movements are rough. They are rough.
But you see, we were able to move all over Kusumisar over.
And now you're crashing it into this?
You'll see it. You'll see it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, no,
but first
no,
we go to
no.
the other side of Kusumisar over. It was actually our fault because we had it on an expert mode. We had the control on the expert mode.
But then it was
you got all the way to the opposite side. You're really nice shots, though. And then we're gradually losing control at all.
I can see that.
So much anxiety. Oh, my God. It's like heart attack time. And then it goes in. It's going to go in now.
How do you bring a machine like this into India? In your suitcase?
Yeah, there's no problem. They don't.
The helicopter
they
in
sell
a suitcase.
Them in, they sell them in India, you too. All right, here we go.
Oh, now you lose control.
Oh! Oh, this is all you see? No fish?
No fish. It's all green stuff in there.
Oh, it goes deeper and deeper. So how did you get it out?
Baba there, he's a friend of mine. He hired some boys with inner tubes and grappling hooks, and we got it out that way.
But was the helicopter usable?
No. But the camera was. The camera's perfect condition.
But
the helicopter was
dead.
No,
it was
electronic. And then, here's another one. Let's see.
But the Mayapur one is fantastic.
That's the best one. And it's a better GoPro.
Show the one for my wife once more. The Mayapur
one? Okay.
Just when you go
well, over. Let's show this one first. I got some more Govardhan ones that I did. Let's make it big.
You can see the rotor blades.
Yeah, this is a different one. This is our first one. The second one I lost in Kushmir over. The first one we crashed somewhere and lost it too. And this is Govinda Kunj. This is the first time we were using this in India.
You send this also into the future, huh?
In the future?
Yeah.
And then we go over to Govardhan to the other side.
Yeah,
this is right next to Govardhan.
Another lovely step on it, so you can fly over it.
You can fly over it. And hit the other side.
Yeah,
that's the Japji Puri side. That's Krishna.
The Mayapur one is a lot. Oh, look at that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
We did slow motion with the GoPro.
A little bit. Must be there.
The kids were enjoying like anything.
So you still have one?
Yeah, I have one.
In Mayapur? Or?
No, it's an American helicopter.
$800?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not
well, now you should see the Mayapur one. Is that all? That's yeah, it is. You said it's a DJI.
That's a DJI. This is not the other two were not DJI.
Oh, I see.
They were much harder to control.
And how much is a GoPro?
The GoPro, the good GoPro is $350. It's an expensive thing.
With the wireless connection?
The wireless connection is another like $120.
That's it.
$50,000? So for $1,500 to
$2,000? Much like $1,500. If you go to DJI, DJI. And they got a really nice video.
Show us the Mayapur one. Especially when it comes closer to the big temple.
You want
to
see that again?
I'm sure my wife would like to see it.
Oh, just one other one I want to show you. This one was done by a friend of mine, Vasudev. You know Vasudev?
No.
You probably know. He's a French devotee. I didn't do these, but they're good with a GoPro. That's him. But this is so cool. Look, he's at Madan Mohan Temple. And you see all of Vrindavan.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wow, you see the birds flying.
Yeah.
That's good.
The GoPro is much better than this. I mean, the DJI is much better than this.
There are a lot of houses there. Look at this.
This is Govardhan?
No, this is Vrindavan.
Wow.
This is Madame Mohan Temple. But you know, the DJI with the mountain we have on it, they're such a smooth, they're much better than this.
So the Maya for it.
Yeah, so the Maya for it.
Yeah.
This is the Phantom 2. Yeah, the Phantom 2 is only 589 euros.
My God.
You don't get the Vision one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is, that's the equipment.
Yeah.
Not that. I mean, I have my own camera. That's my camera's much better than that. The Vision one is actually, I mean, it's good enough, but I don't like the, it's not professional quality. Okay. Let's see. That's the last half of it. Because you do two flights with this.
Father, you gotta see this.
Father, come. This is something for you.
Yeah, helicopter, right?
So that did
you see? Now look. This is amazing footage.
That's what I did in my job, listen. For the camera.
You did?
Yeah.
But you were flying.
Yeah.
This is unmanned.
This is unmanned. This is what the UAV.
But yeah, now it gets interesting. Look at this. But then
we're flying 1 kilometer away. We're controlling 1 kilometer away.
This is 1 kilometer away?
Yeah,
the people were 1 kilometer away from the helicopter.
Yeah, our control was 1 kilometer away.
Is that the new temple?
No, this is
the Father Samadhi.
But this high, it's like 200 meters
maximum.
You can go 1,000 meters with it. This is 100 meters high.
Yeah,
because it has a wide angle lens.
It's coming. Now it's coming into the picture.
These are all the skyscape scrapers.
Now it starts.
I mean, look at this building, all these buildings here.
Yeah. This looks like Manhattan.
It's crazy.
It's huge.
I'm used to high-rise buildings here.
What
is
these buildings?
Is
it a property of Maipo?
No. So these are here. These are Maipo property. This is a hotel here across the street. That's the auditorium, you know.
But
that's
in the
temple.
Alright,
put your hand away. Thank you. this is the main temple. You see the altar down there. See, there's the altar under construction.
Oh.
Pretty far out, isn't it?
It's scary to just watch it.
Uh-oh.
How high is this temple will be?
I don't remember.
90 meters,
something like that. The helicopter's not that high at this point.
What is this?
This is
part of
this. This is part of
it.
Construction.
That's the Vishnu temple to the left.
Wait, the Vishnu temple is the same. Okay. Samadhi. Yeah.
Kalangi there in the background.
Nishringadi temple's on the side.
He will remain in that temple, Nishringadi.
So we were really far away. We were already in the corner of the household area there.
Hmm. You can still see it because it's too small, no?
We couldn't see that. Oh.
But they could see the video.
We could see
the goggles.
We could see what we were filming.
Oh, okay.
The deity worship is still going on.
There I am, right over there.
Oh, okay.
That's where we landed, right over there. Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Far out.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
It's very interesting. What is
the place? Oh, we just take my paraglider and we do the same.
Paraglider? You won't get it smooth like this.
Yeah, same.
Smooth?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You stay in one position now.
No. Glide smoothly, that's possible.
you need to do a test first.
But if it is,
and you can't come down like this, it's like.
Right here.
Yeah, there's really like helicopter.
Video.
I better get ready. Let me get the video.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much for coming and for
nice.
My weekend
I like
was
it here.
A little busy. Outdoor is sick.
Nice here, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
it's like paradise.
I told you one stay for a year. You should stay for 1 or 2 years.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Come and relax.
Come and relax.
No, not relax.
Work here.
So work on the BBT.
Ice cream, hard enough.
Yeah.
On the BBT.
I mean, all the temples in the world, they're an automatic pilot and things work. I mean,
so
here,
this temple too. So.
No, it's not. We need somebody like you here
yeah.
for a
yeah.
year or two. You know,
yeah,
let's start the preaching. We can maybe get a little bus. We bring the bhaktas from Stockholm here and
yeah, that's,
put
that's
them in
I
all
I
the
mean.
Rooms. You know,
yeah.
you know,
minibus yeah,
and
yeah.
start a, start. Maharaj is going to inspire us to come to the
Oh my God.
Yeah,
what about everywhere else where I got commitments in the world?
It's an automatic pilot.
Automatic pilot? I don't think you know where I'm working.
We clone you.
Anyways, if
you need to clone.
We would like you here for a year or two or five, you know?
Well, thank you for wanting, but
it would be really good. This would be the solution for
half a year.
At least
yeah, at least
no, half a year is nothing. A year.
I mean,
no, that's better than nothing.
Anyway, I can't even go the places I want to go to because I don't have time.
You can send a chopper there, a wet copter to give you reports.
But there's nothing interesting to shoot here with a copter.
Here?
Yeah.
No, that's true. But I can come up with some programs for that.
Then Sweden, you have restrictions.
Yeah, you have to make to a license to get a license.
You have to get a license to fly a quadcopter here
commercially. For private use,
private
use, you can't do it. No problem
yeah.
at all. But if you want to sell your footage to others, you have to go to transport students. 120 people took the license the last 2 years or 3 years.
So it's not hard to get a license.
It's not hard, but you're not allowed to fly above people.
Above people,
you're not allowed to fly above.
I can with the paraglider.
Yeah, you can, but you're not allowed to fly a quadcopter above. You have to stay 50 meters laterally aside, away from people. So if
that's kind of hard,
it's very hard. But nobody really follows.
Because it's where the people, you know.
Yeah.
So far, no quadcopter has crashed in Sweden. So, but it's an insurance issue. If you crash your thing into a roof or so, you are liable, you know, if you do this commercially and you didn't follow the security requirements.
Wow.
And you're not allowed to fly higher than 120 meters in Sweden. 120 is
that's
the absolute maximum.
No one can, because it doesn't have radio, so
nobody really, but if you do
it
privately,
It's like me, I can go with the engine to the cloud and cross the border, and they can register me. Because
but also
the
airplane can crash into you.
Yeah, there's not
a chance. Recently they had one of these that came close to one of the commercial jets.
Yeah. Not good.
In America,
not
now.
Good.
Because it was flying like 2,000 to 3,000 meters high, you know.
It's not good to interfere with.
How big and how heavy?
It's not heavy.
Like this?
It's like this, about this big, and it weighs about, you know, 1-2 kilos or something.
Yeah, not that very light.
It's all electronics.
But when I hit this one at speed, you know,
yeah.
300 kilometers,
that's something.
Yeah.
It's like a
it's
real
only
big massive bird.
Or even 80 kilometers.
Well, if it gets sucked into an engine, it has a lithium battery, so it explodes.
Yeah.
You know, lithium polymer batteries are the most dangerous batteries in the world.
And that's what it is there.
Yeah, if it's exposed to the air, it explodes.
Yeah. They're not really toys, but
yeah.
I can find out. If you stay here, I'll get you one. Yeah. We can fly it over Omni.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
We can find out why cows usually graze in the north-south direction. And do they really do that? So we could do a research project.
We just put a GPS on it.
Oh, yeah.
It's easier than a cow. GPS tag or cow. Anyway, we'll talk about it. Thank you anyway.
Thank you so much, Laura.
You know where to go when you run out of
engagements. That will never happen in this
life. Then, Gandavik and Giritari, they need somebody of your caliber. I'm sure about that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for
Hare Krishna.
Your good work.
I'm leaving in by 10:15.
Oh my God.
So I gotta get go to take the car.
Alright, thank you.
Is it time for more time? Actually, it's probably not time to take the shot.
They started to Finland.
Alright, thank you. We're going to pack it and then take it because we've got problems. I'm going to pack it. Yeah, 1 o'clock.
Is it 1 o'clock?
What? It's about 1:15.
1:15. What time are you going to leave?
3 hours.
10:15.
Okay.
3 hours.
No, 3-4 hours. I don't think I have time to eat before I go. So we can pack this.
Once you eat it, then
no,
you do.
You can't eat
you
before
pack
you travel.
Everything.
You don't have a lot of time.
Okay.
Make some yogurt and pack all this.
Shall we just take it down there? Everything.
You don't want to eat?
I will eat at the airport.
Okay. Then why don't you take back
after
and
I check
pack it nice?
Yeah, do you want to take that back at
night? But how are you going to take this one?
I don't know.
Just break it up into little pieces and put it in a plastic bag.
Okay. You don't
want
to take anything,
whatever. No, I'm not going to eat this. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Dananda, you're gonna get prasadam for yourself?
Yeah.
You're gonna take
prasadam
for yourself?
No. It's easier to cross.
Okay.
So,
thank you for coming. Oh, really? It's a sports car?
No.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Too bad. Next time you gotta borrow a Maserati or something.
Mm. Yes. Okay, but should I be waiting outside?
Why don't you take free shot?
I've been waiting outside and...
You can wait outside and chant, or...?
Yeah.
Okay.
If
whatever's better for you.
If that's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever you like. Anyway, thank you for coming.
Oh, just let me know if I can help you with something, but...
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
Here's a thank you message for it.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, I have all the things to pack it in.
You only have some plastic bags.
Oh, plastic bags I have.
Yeah, use plastic bags. That's all dirty.
But you have to pack it.
Nice visit.
Good.
Yeah, we had. This was a very nice visit. There was something else in your kitchen I wanted.
What do you want?
There was this. I wonder if I can use this.
Do you just remember?
What have I been eating the last few days?
Huh?
What have I been eating?
What do you need?
No, I'm just thinking.
You want them to be packed in some plastic bags?
No, I just wrap it.
Where you will wrap it?
I just put it to the side. I just go like this. years of doing anything. I didn't know. Those are for giving out to people that the streets are beginning to do. It goes back to that.
And the Yogendra.
Yogendra, yeah. This is a nice devotee. Where's his wife? In America? Or?
Yeah, she lives in
America, and he's in Sweden.
His wife is with somebody else.
His wife is marrying someone else?
He's with somebody else. That's what I heard. I don't know.
His wife is a good artist.
Yeah.
She's a very good artist. So she got married to someone else. So.
She's living together with somebody else.
Oh, she's very married. Get married. It's terrible. She's in America and he's in Sweden. Some of the bags I'm going to be using.
What?
I'm going to use those bags for the babies.
Yeah, okay. How many do you need?
Yeah, it's all my DD stuff.
Okay. And this is your bag, Mark?
Yeah, that's my bag, too.
You need a knife?
No, that's yours. Thank you. There's nothing in the bathroom. I already said.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's because you just came from an airplane.
That's a urban. No, it's not like the other days nowadays.
Even in India, you felt like that? Or?
Yeah. I thought that it is too hot, so it may be due to that. But here, even now, it's good, but still, I feel.
It may be an ear infection. You should have the doctor check it.
Yeah, I
would say. If the ear is infected, it can cause a balance problem. Today, when I get to Helsinki, it'll be very easy. And then when I go to Denmark, I'm going in the train.
Okay. You're going to Denmark after?
I'm going to Denmark after Helsinki.
So that means you come back to Sweden and then?
No. Flying
or you fly directly there?
I'm flying from Denmark to Zagreb.
No, from Helsinki to?
Denmark.
Yeah, by
plane.
Okay.
And then after Denmark, I'm flying to Zagreb, Croatia. And then after Zagreb, I drive to Villa Brindavan in Italy.
Why?
We have a meeting. UBC meeting in Villa Brindavan. And after Villa Brindavan, then I go back to Slovenia, and after Slovenia, I go to Frankfurt, and then I fly to America from Frankfurt. Thank you for your hospitality.
Thank you, Gordy, for coming here.
It was very nice.
So if you stay longer, I'll be happy.
No, you like the coat. Thank you. Thank you. Nandini, thank you for everything.
Oh, you're welcome for
you're doing very well. Nandini's like a real yogi.
On the top of your mercy. I was chanting for you. 4 hours a day. So now you give me chanting in the next book. So you have to chant. Nandini left the MP3 player.
Did you find all the stuff I put on your MP3?
Yeah, I saw. Thank you very much, Gurdjieff. It was very nice because I know the computers on your opposite.
Yeah, it's very easy to put all that. How much is what?
This computer?
This computer? I don't remember. I mean, it was probably about $700 US or something when I bought it. Computers in the US are very cheap. Here they're much more expensive.
Computer is very good for finding everything Krishna consciousness, so nowadays you can find everything.
Yeah, the D's are still here.
If my economy is good, Maharaj, I will come to America.
Yeah, you should come to visit. That would be nice. They are the best wigs in New York.
But the best wig comes from Tokyo.
Tokyo? Well, you can fly to Tokyo.
Yeah.
But New York has everything.
But Maharaj, I don't like to go to New York.
Why?
If you're anywhere in America, you have to see the Big Apple, or how do you call it? You have to see it.
No, usually the plane.
Not necessary that you fly to New York.
But usually the plane goes by and it's very far.
When then you are very far away. Your place is very far from New York.
No, just 1 hour.
It's only 1 hour.
1 hour by plane.
I want to see New York, and I want to see this matchless gift shop of Barbados.
Yeah, yeah, the Christian places.
But Maharaj, where to stay in New York?
It's expensive. There's nowhere to stay in New York.
No place in temple?
They may have a room, I'm not sure. But they're in Brooklyn.
Maybe there's some devotees living there who want to... If you order the wigs, any of them, you're here. That's devotees.
No, you don't order from devotees.
No. Oh,
they are
not
the
wig stores where
they... No, you go to the wig store in New York.
Okay. But there was one other day who was...
The temple president, and she's the temple president's wife in New York. Yeah.
Oh, she knows the place.
She knows where to go.
Oh. Okay.
So
it would cost like $100 a night to take in
the
hotel,
or... No, a night's wig is like $30. They don't cost. Oh, to stay at night?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's at least $200 in New York.
No, Mary, I don't spend that much.
$200 a night.
$2,000? No, $1,500. Don't you know any Indian who live in New York?
No, I have my relatives. I don't know the whole thing.
Your relatives in New York?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
They are doing it different. They are in gem business.
Oh, the gem business. You don't want to stay with them?
No.
They eat meat, I guess.
No. They're pure
James. Oh, they're James. So that's good. Mm-hmm. So you should stay with them.
No. I have relatives in New York. I have relatives in Tokyo. I have relatives in Hong Kong.
Mm. Yes. Everywhere.
Not everywhere. I have one friend in Brussels.
That's nice.
Now in Asia, wherever I go, I can stay.
In Burma, you have relatives too? Or? Yeah.
No.
No, not in Burma. Cambodia?
Nobody. In Bangkok, we
are. Bangkok. What's that?
Go away
to where? In a second, yeah, when I go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
In that moment. What's that? Yeah, that's a kitchen knife.
Do you need a plastic spoon with you?
I have plastic spoons. Yeah, I have plastic spoons.
Oh, do you want one?
What?
Yeah.
I have more. I have plenty. So I have to see.
Anything more you need, Maharaj?
No, this is fine. I think I got everything I need, yeah.